You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, July 31st, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we're getting another week started off, and what better way to start the week off than tuning in for this show? Of course, we wish Sven Longshanks was doing the show instead of yours truly, but we've got what we got. So speaking of what we got, we do continue to have our support links for Sven down in the description page. Be sure and check that out. Well, for our story today, we'd take a look at another example of how broken the legal system in the U.S. is. And like everything else, it's really notable the disconnect between reality and what is portrayed to us in entertainment media. For instance, you have these shows that air on TV here in the U.S., you know, like, I don't know, it's just called FBI. And then there's something like FBI International. Obviously, I don't watch these crap shows, but I know they exist. FBI International, which FBI International is real funny to me because it, like, these idiots watch this and it never dawns on them. It's like, well, why would there be an international version of the FBI? What? You know, it's just like, basically, yes, America rules the world. And of course, these shows always portray, you know, the FBI doing this noble, thankless work of keeping America safe. But in reality, it's pretty much an utterly corrupt organization. And we've seen examples of this time and time again. And same with these legal shows. You know, I have one pops in my mind, I always say is Law and Order, you know, and you watch these shows. And like the police round this guy up and everything, and they're questioning him. They're getting ready to go to trial. And while going over the case, the prosecution discovers exonerating evidence and they call the guy back in and basically force the guy to admit that he didn't do the crime. You know, like maybe the guy is trying to take the fall for somebody else and they get him in there and they strong arm him. And finally he breaks down and says, "You're right. I didn't really do the crime." Oh, and then they go back to the prosecutors, go to the police and say, "We've got to start all over from scratch on this case because we got the wrong guy." And that is not how it works. And everybody knows that isn't how it works. Prosecutors don't care less. They couldn't care less whether you're innocent, guilty, somewhere in between. They want a conviction. It's just like scoring points. That's all they care about. And we know this. Now, the only time the media really likes to talk about this is when the victims of judicial injustice are black people. But the truth is, it happens to everybody. And it has a whole lot more to do with how much money you have than your skin color. And that's just the truth. People don't want to hear it, but that's how it is. You get caught up in the legal system in the U.S. If you're not filthy rich, you're going to be in for a really hard time, whether you black, brown, white, whatever. This is the reality. But once again, the media doesn't deal in reality. They deal in stories. Now, speaking of our stories, we've got a story to kind of highlight this today. It comes from the AP via Yahoo News. And the headline of the story is, "Judge orders release of three of the Nuremberg Four, and assails FBI's role in a post-9/11 terror sting." Three men convicted in a post-9/11 terrorism sting have been ordered freed from prison by a judge who deemed their lengthy sentences, quote, "unduly harsh and unjust," and decried the FBI's role in radicalizing them in a plot to blow up New York synagogues and shoot down National Guard planes. We keep hearing these stories. You know, the Congress keeps holding all of these congressional hearings and presenting these facts where the FBI has this, basically this set of rules, this mode of operandi, where they use informants, set up a narrative, create a plot, come up with the plot, create all the materials, provide the money, and sets up moron up, and then rush in and say, oh, look, we saved America from terrorism. This has been their mode of operandi for some time now, and we have congressional hearings, and here we have this judge complaining about it, and that's all we get. We get Republicans whining about it, judges complaining about it, but nothing ever changes. Now, the Republicans are the most frustrating part because right now they control the House of Representatives, which is where bills have to start, and they control the funding. With all of their whining and complaining about how corrupt the FBI and the FBI is targeting people and shouldn't be, and they're doing these fake plots or whatever, they could stop it today. All they have to do is cut the FBI's funding, and they will not do it. They want to hold hearings. They want to complain. They want to act like we're one of you. No, you're not one of us. Because you see, us, the people out here, we don't have any control over what the FBI does. We don't. We just have to hope we don't get caught up by them. You know, we hope they don't decide to target us and hang something on us. We're just trying to stay out of the way. Y'all are supposed to be the ones in charge. What are you doing? All you got to do is cut their funding today and it's over. The FBI cannot harass, entrap, make up fairy tale stories to convict somebody of the terrorism. They can't do any of that. All you got to do is defund them now. But the Republicans won't do it. They sit here and whine and have another hearing, and they keep giving them the money and they keep going along. It's ludicrous, and it just keeps on happening. On to Williams, David Williams, and LaGuerre Payen. I probably didn't say that right. Three of the men known as the Newburgh Four were, quote, hapless, easily manipulated, and penurious petty criminals caught up more than a decade ago in a scheme driven by overzealous FBI agents and a dodgy informant, U.S. District Judge Colleen McMahon said in her ruling Thursday. Yeah, this is called standard operating procedure for the FBI. We all know that they do this. I mean, this is just literally what they do. There has recently been some FBI whistleblowers, which, I mean, credit where due. Apparently not every single buddy in the FBI is a corrupt piece of shit, because they did have some FBI whistleblowers come out here a while back and they were like, look, we're under all this pressure. These are like field agents. And they're like, we're under all this pressure to find white supremacist domestic terrorists. See, back here, back on right after 9/11, they were under this immense pressure to find Muslim terrorists doing the domestic terrorism. But fast forward to current year, and we've changed roles here. It's no longer Muslims that they're trying to rack up and put in jail and concoct these cases about. Now it's white supremacists, and you can't see it because I'm doing the scare quote here. And I say that because white supremacists, I mean, at least when they were doing Muslims, you knew who Muslims were. I mean, you know, what's a Muslim? You don't have to ask that. Everybody knows. Now it's much more of a spook. It's white supremacist, but nobody will tell us exactly what that means. Anyway, had these whistleblowers from the FBI came out and they're like, we're under all this pressure to find white supremacist domestic terrorists, and they keep pushing us to do this, and they're like, we can't find any. We can find white people that are complaining about immigration. We can find white people that are, you know, maybe spastically supportive of the Second Amendment. We can find, you know, white people complaining about the government, but we haven't been able to nail down this white supremacy domestic terrorism threat. I remember reading a story years ago, I read a story, and this was while all this was still going on, this 9/11, when the target was the Muslims. And I remember reading a deal, and they were talking to one of the imams in one of the big mosques here. I think it was in New York, whatever, about this sort of thing. And he laughed and he said, one thing about it. He said, we always know who the FBI guy is. And the reason for that is we're going about our daily business and holding our daily prayer sessions and whatnot. And he says, then you get this new guy start showing up. And he says, all the guy will ever talk about and wants to talk about is jihad. Anybody who will listen. And he's like, everybody knows, oh, well, there's the Fed. You know, since we know they're on this hunt for quote unquote white supremacist domestic terrorisms, you should get a clue. If you're, for whatever reason, belong to some group, that may be pro-white in some way, shape, or form, which you know you're going to get targeted by feds when the guy shows up and all he wants to talk about is what we're going to do, basically white supremacist jihad, you should get a clue. There's the Fed. And the imam said, we all know. And he said, this guy will go around and talk to anybody in the mosque about jihad that will listen. And everybody just kind of laughs and shake their heads, at least because they know this guy's a Fed. He said, the guy will keep going around until he finds somebody who is like really literally mentally retarded. And then they'll latch on to him and then they'll start. Oh, you need to do this. What we got to do is this. And it's the same lines. Somebody needs to do something. We've got to do jihad against these infidels. Somebody's got to do something. Nobody's doing anything in the mosque. Hear the same things. The real conspirator was the United States, McMahon wrote, in granting the men's request for compassionate release, effective in 3 months. She said it was heinous of the men to agree to participate in what she called the government's made-for-TV movie. But the judge added, the sentence was the product of a fictitious plot to do things that these men had never remotely contemplated and that were never going to happen. Now, see, this is one of the ways in which the government, if you look at this case, this is basically what these guys' lawyers tried to defend them with, and it didn't work. Jury trials are a joke now. Originally, jury trials were created with the idea that this was a final fail-safe against tyranny, because if the government got detached from the people and passed laws that were unjust, regardless of what the people wanted, what the people demanded, if you had a jury trial, a jury of your peers, a jury of people capable of not simply following rules, but instead independent thought, then the jury always had the option of throwing the case out. So the idea was, if the government passed an unjust law, once they went to convict people, if they could never find a jury willing to convict anyone, then the law was made null and void. Basically, because they couldn't get anybody convicted, because jury said, yeah, no, this law is BS. We're not going to put people in jail for it. We don't care what the law is. But that's not the way it works now. Now the judges tell the NPC, you just look at it, you ain't got a jury of your peers. You got a jury of NPCs. You just see the gray faces, the NPC faces all lined up in the jury box. And the judge tells them, it doesn't matter what your personal feelings are of the law. You have got to follow what the law says. And of course, none of these people has the nerve. If the jury would unanimously stand up and say, not guilty, the judge could pound the desk all he wants to, but it doesn't matter. But they won't. They won't do that. Now, the way, like I say, the way the prosecutors sell this is they say, yes, the whole idea, the plot, the plan, the fake bomb materials, the money to buy the fake bomb materials, the tickets to go to the location were all bought, paid for, and provided by the FBI and the FBI informants and FBI agents. Sure, that's true. But you see, these guys agreed to go along with our plot. In our scheme. So you see, if somebody else, not the FBI, had come up with this plot, they would have been a part of it. So see, we've prevented you from terrorism. We've prevented them from committing a terrorism. We've protected the people from this heinous Islamic terrorist plot. The part that gets left out is just like what I was saying earlier with the imam talking about how these feds would come into the mosques. They look for people who are retarded. I don't know anything beyond about these four guys beyond the fact, well, it says later in the article, we'll get to that, one of them has extreme mental problems. You know, they're all four black. And I'm sure because, again, like the imam said, I'm sure these guys are really incredibly stupid, probably on an IQ test. They're probably borderline or actually literally retarded. And again, I'm not being quote-unquote racist. You're just saying that because they're black. No, because this is how the FBI works. They find somebody who is literally retarded because anybody else can see through this. You get somebody show up at the mosque and they're like, we're going to do jihad, 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 jihad. Hey, I got a plan and I can provide all the money. I just need you to go do it. I mean, anybody with any kind of sense, anybody with an IQ above room temperature on a room temperature in the wintertime with the heating knocked out is going to see that, oh man, this guy's setting me up. They find people who are really, really slow. You know, one of the people, like I say, and we're going to get to this in the story, but one of these guys, they're going to have to set up some kind of facility, you know, for him to go, arrangements for him to go to a facility because he's got such extreme mental problems. Now, if he's got such extreme mental problems, he's got to go to a special facility. What the hell was he being convicted for in the first place? I thought the whole thing was we didn't convict mentally ill people in this country. But apparently that's gone out the window, along with all the rest of the actual idea behind rule of law. She exonerated the government for sending a villain of an informant to troll among the poorest and weakest of men for terrorists, quote unquote, who might prove susceptible to an offer of much needed cash in exchange for committing a false crime. I don't know how many of you are familiar. Years and years ago, you probably at least are in passing familiar with the case of Randy Weaver back in the 90s, Ruby Ridge. You probably more or less are in passing. I remember way back in the day, I actually read the book about it, Randy Weaver's book about it. What a lot of people don't know is that whole thing started with this very same thing, with an FBI informant trying to entrap this guy. The whole thing started, as I recall, I'm just recalling this off the top of my head. Like I said, it's been probably 20 years at least. Well, no, it's been more than 20 years since I read this book. But anyway, you know, the FBI informant sawed off a shotgun below legal length, and then, you know, kept showing up. And then he's got this sawed off shotgun, and he asked Randy Weaver to hold it for him for a minute while he was doing something else. And Randy Weaver holds on to it, and the guy says, looks at him and says, oh, you're in possession of an illegal firearm. You're in violation of the U.S. federal law. And Randy Weaver, because they were trying to get Randy Weaver to become an informant for him as well. And he threw it back at the guy and told him to piss off. And the whole thing escalated. They wound up killing his boy, killing his wife while she held the baby. And it was truly a horrific thing. And of course, as usual, nobody was punished for it. And that's just it. People see these stories, they read these stories, and they act like this is something brand new. They've been lawless for a long, long time. The U.S. Attorney's Office declined to comment on the judge's decision. A message-seeking comment was sent to the FBI, citing concerns for the men's health and her own qualms about the case. McMahon cut the 25-year mandatory minimum sentences she imposed on them in 2011 to time served plus 90 days. She said that would allow time for probation officials to prepare for Payen's lawyer to line up supportive housing for the man who has severe mental illness. Now, they got sent for these mandatory sentences, but she was the one that did the case originally. She was the one that imposed the mandatory sentences. Now, if they were mandatory, how come now she's overturning them? I find that curious, and I don't really have the time or the inclination to really study up and figure out how all of that works. But I just found it humorous that it was she herself who sent them to prison for this time, and now she herself who's standing here on a soapbox preaching about how this is a horrible injustice and these guys need to be let go. This entire system is just broken, just like everything else. Our healthcare system broken, legal system broken, nothing works anymore. We are tremendously pleased that our clients are on their way home, even if it's 14 years too late, said Amit R. Gupta, part of a group of lawyers representing Payen and Williamses, who are not related. Gupta, in his statement, described the three as destitute men entrapped for their race, religion, and working class backgrounds by a government looking to spread fear of Muslims and justify bloated budgets. Well, okay, sure, I agree with that, but how are we going to ignore the elephant in the room? In other words, now do January 6th. This is all great. Lawyers, that's all well and great. Now do January 6th, because they're doing the exact same thing right now. You see, now we've moved on from the Islamic terrorist threat. And now all we hear over and over is white supremacist domestic terrorist threat. And you got a few good egg FBI agents that are like, we can't find any. And yet we're under all this pressure to basically find domestic white supremacist terrorists, even if you have to make them yourself. That's never a good situation. You know, look, if people are really doing a terror, look, nobody wants somebody, you know, wants terrorists out there, you know, planning to like bomb a shopping mall or something. And yeah, we, you know, people want those people stopped. Nobody wants to see that sort of thing happen. But when you start putting pressure and saying, we got to find people if you got to make them up, and that's what's happening. When you're going out there and say, you got to find these domestic white supremacist terrorists because the administration has declared that's the biggest domestic terrorist threat. So we need some action here. We need some results. And you got agents saying, well, we can't find any. We'll make some up. go find some. Go. And they do the exact same thing. They go into Discord servers. They go on the internet and they try to find somebody who's low IQ enough not to sniff out their glowiness. And they start talking about somebody's got to do something. Man, we got to do something. We got to do this ourselves. Come on. We got to get out here. And they finally try to find somebody. This is the same playbook. Only now, instead of the Muslims, now it's white people. I'm going to guess that all of these human rights groups or whatever that are now after the fact, you know, so these guys aren't going to get their 14 years back. That's the thing. They send you to jail, and what they take from you is something you cannot get back, which is your time. If you were just fined money, say they fined you $5,000, you know, it would cost you that money, or you would have to pay that money over time or whatever. It would cost you that money, but in theory, you could work and get that money back somehow. You could recover from that financially. When they send you to jail, you can't get that time back. That is time that was given to you in this life that you can never get back. That the 14 years that these guys spent, they're not going to get that back ever. They can't get it back. It's literally impossible to do. It doesn't matter if the government turns around and gives them money. Money doesn't get your time back. So that has been taken from them. Now, again, okay, now let's see all of these groups or these lawyers and all this that are decrying this. And it's right to be denounced. But let's see these same people step up and say the same thing is going on right now. That's how it rings a little hollow for me. They need to add to that, and they're doing the same thing now. The January 6th people are in jail for protesting, and we know they have the video footage. They finally released the video footage where the police were leading these people around like tour guides inside of the Capitol. And it doesn't even matter. These guys are still rotting in jail. Kathy Manley, who represented Payen, said the prosecution should never have happened, but now at least the men will soon be out of prison. Samuel Braverman, who represented Payen at trial, called the ruling incredibly brave and just. Well, no, brave and just would have been if the judge had refused to enact the mandatory sentence to begin with. And come back all these years later. I mean, well, at least they're getting out now. Well, easy for you to say, where have you been for the past 14 years? These guys lost 14 years of their life. And now it's the same thing is still happening. They're doing the same thing. It doesn't matter to you 14 years later. Say, oh, yeah, that shouldn't have happened back then. Well, yes, but it's still happening now. They've just changed the people they're targeting. You know, if it was wrong for them to have been doing this back then, and obviously it was, it's wrong for them to be doing it now. And nobody wants to speak up and say anything about that. The fourth man, James Cromati, wasn't part of the compassionate release request and is expected to complete his prison sentence in 2030. Cromati's attorney, Kerry Lawrence, plans to speak with him about pursuing similar action on his behalf. I'm confident he would be entitled to relief for the same reasons articulated by Judge McMahon for the other defendants, Lawrence said. Where you been? What have you been waiting on? Payen, Cromati, and the Williamses were arrested in 2009 during a period of heightened public and law enforcement concern about the threat of terror strikes hatched within the U.S. by supporters of foreign extremists. In other words, hysteria. They ginned up this hysteria. This was the early hatchings of it. They ginned up this hysteria, created this hysteria, and then, you know, went around and went around hatching these plots themselves so they could find some retard frame for it. And you know, it's worse now. Because at least then they would come out and say, you know, do the whole, you know, religion of peace and blah, blah, blah. And this is a small, tiny fraction of Muslims that are doing the terrorism. See, they ain't doing that now. They tell them this whole white supremacist thing, and they ain't going out and going, well, let's remember that we can't actually even find any of these people. And if we can, it's going to be a very small number. They just basically blanket smearing white people. Officials portrayed Cromartie as the ringleader of a, quote, chilling plot among extremely violent men loyal to a Pakistani terrorist group, which was invented by the whole thing, of course, is invented by the FBI, though the government later decided not to present any evidence about foreign terrorist organizations at trial. Imagine you convicting people without any evidence. And this went on. Yeah, this is part of what irks me too about this story is, you know, they're going on about how the judge was so brave to come forward and strike this down after these guys have lost 14 years. They're never going to get back. But yet the judge allowed the prosecution to go forward this case without presenting any evidence. A court complaint described him as a man seething with anti-American and, of course, anti-Semitic sentiment. Of course. And eager to translate those feelings into bloody action. You notice how these prosecutorial narratives always read like a movie script. And that's exactly what it is. It's just a movie script. They're just telling a story. Prosecutors said the defendants had spent months scouting targets led around by an FBI guy and securing what they thought were explosives and a surface-to-air missile from an FBI guy, aiming to shoot down planes at the Air National Guard base in Newburgh, New York, and blow up synagogues. Commit another Holocaust. Well, no, I added that. I'm sorry. In Riverdale, a heavily Jewish part of the Bronx. They were arrested there after allegedly planting bombs that were, in fact, packed with inert explosives supplied by the FBI. And this is where they get these guys. Again, they say, well, they went and they thought they were planting a bomb. You see, the guys thought they were planting a bomb. But the guys are idiots. I mean, the guys would not have come up with this on their own. Speaking of which, whatever happened to the pipe bombs that were planted in Washington on January 6th? What happened to those? How come we never hear about that anymore? Weird, isn't it? Weird how that was in the media and then all of a sudden it went away. And had surveillance footage and we got all this FBI resources and finally that went away. I suspect the retards, they probably had some retards. They thought they had some retards lined up to do this so they could add that to this narrative. And the idiots probably at the last minute realized how glowy things were and backed out. So the FBI informant probably, this is just a guess. I'm not, obviously I don't know. But I would guess that maybe somebody realized at the last minute how stupid this was. Maybe somebody just didn't go at the last minute. They had some guys all rounded up ready to be, you know, framed up as domestic white supremacist terrorists. They finally were going to create some. And at the last minute, the people were like, yeah, well, I ain't going to January 6th. Or I'm not going to go plant your fake pipe bombs. So I suspect the informant just went and planted them himself. Well, they couldn't very well work with that. From the start, relatives said the four men who were down on their luck after doing prison time, the men's lawyers soon raised this is wait. From the start, relatives said the four men who were down on their luck after doing prison time. See, this drives me crazy. You got two people writing the story. I assume the Associated Press has editors somewhere, and you have a sentence like this, a gibberish sentence like this, wind up in this story. Lack of professionalism. The men's lawyer soon raised questions about entrapment, a legal defense that argues that people were enticed into illegal conduct they wouldn't have otherwise committed. The defense lawyer said federal informant Saeed Hussein tried to stir up the men with rhetoric and went on to choose the targets, offer hefty payment, buy the defendants groceries, and provide the fake bombs and missile. The defense portrayed Hussein as a self-serving manipulator who was trying to please the government after his own unrelated fraud conviction. Now, in other words, he was just a typical snitch. Jurors deliberated for 8 days before the convicting the men in 2010. 3 years later, they lost an appeal. So these guys get convicted and lose an appeal and lose 14 years of their life. And yet the same way of operating continues even to this day. It's fine to look back on this, but if you're not going to change the way it's functioning, then there's no point. I mean, there's a point for these guys. Obviously, they are at least now getting out. But I mean, if you're not going to change the way it's being done, it's ridiculous to sit here and say, oh, yes, this great injustice happened and these guys were in prison and this is all basically the whole story is made up by the FBI. Well, that's all well and good. But if you're not going to then say, okay, we got to stop that from happening, we got to find a way to lock this down. But that never happens. A possible phone number for Hussein rang unanswered Thursday night. Hussein also worked with the FBI on other stings, including one that targeted an Albany pizza shop owner and an imam, and involved a loan using money from a fictitious missile sale. Both men who said they were tricked were convicted of money laundering and conspiring to aid a terrorist group. You get these people. Always look. You get these people show up. And they start you can tell they're trying to weave some sort of story and they're trying to find a way to weave you into their story. This guy is going out here basically hunting people down to try to just find anybody he could trick. A few years later, Hussein, because he was a piece of crap, was in the public eye again when a stretch limo crashed in rural Schoharie, New York. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. I'm sorry, Yankees. You need to name your city's normal things. Killing 20 people. Hussein owned the limo company, which he probably funded with FBI money that he got for being a piece of crap snitch. So this guy who's going around doing this, and then he's running some kind of shady limousine company that he got with FBI money. Anyway, it was owned, Hussein owned the limo company operated by his son, Naaman Hussein. After it emerged that the limo had failed a safety inspection a month prior before the crash, and that the slain driver didn't even have a commercial license, Naaman Hussein was charged with criminally negligent homicide and manslaughter. His lawyer blamed a repair shop for the vehicle's problems and said his client was being treated like a scapegoat. Aww. Naaman Hussein was convicted this May, and is serving 5 to 15 years in prison. There's nothing lower than a snitch. I mean, really, they are. And this guy, I mean, what a scumbag, you know? And he bought the limo company with all the money he made, destroying people's lives. You know, the guys in this story got sent up. For all this time, they all lost 14 years of their life. One of them still in prison. And this guy profited from it, you know, and bought a shady limo company with the money. It's hard to imagine anything any lower, you know, just bottom feeders of society. But look, again, it's fine. I mean, it's great that a story like this is out here. But there's no calls to stop the FBI from operating in this manner. So it doesn't mean anything. I mean, like I said earlier, it means something to these guys. They're still not getting their time back, but it means something to them. But all of this self-congratulations and all of this patting the judge on the back and the media talking about, oh, this injustice has finally been corrected. But it isn't, because they're still doing the exact same thing. This is now, it's not black people and Muslims, now it's white people. And there's no effort to correct what's being done. Yes, this is an injustice, but your cries about how unjust it is fall hollow if there's no calls to stop them from operating in this manner. This is because the media or whatever doesn't like white people, so it's okay now. You see, and that's the trap. When this, and some of us were saying this back when they passed the Patriot Act and all of this post 9/11 nonsense, we said, look, you support these things because conservatives got all over it because, oh, yes, we support the Patriot Act and all this because they're going to keep us safe from these evil desert brown people who are going to try to do a terrorism on us. But some of us were even saying back then that, well, this is going to wind up applying to you, too. You know, they're going to selectively take rights away. They're going to take rights away from everybody. And you've got to be careful because that's what they do. And of course, the media isn't going to admit their complicity in this. They couldn't have hyped up all of the Muslim terrorist threat narrative without the media's help. But see, the media exonerates themselves. You always got to be careful. Look, when they were presenting this, I'm sure when these guys were convicted, conservatives, by and large, supported this and applauded as our brave G-men are keeping us safe. Fast forward to today, and liberals support this because our brave G-men are keeping us safe from the racist, white supremacist, domestic terrorist threat. And it's all still made up. It's also and they can switch whoever it is. You sell away your own rights just because you think that's going to only apply to other people. And when they say, well, we're going to take away these rights because of this threat, because of this reason. And people foolishly think that means they're only taking away those rights for those people who are the target right now. But that's never how it works. Once the rights are gone, nobody has them. Not them, not you, not anybody. Media, they're sitting here being, you know, self-congratulatory that this injustice has been overturned while not admitting their own work, their own culpability in promoting the same narrative. And because, again, they're doing the same thing now. Everything is the white supremacist domestic terrorist threat at any minute. It's just going to happen. Same story, different day. Well, I'm glad these guys are getting out after such a ridiculous aim. And they're not going to get the time back. But the important thing to remember is they're still doing this. And there's a whole lot of more people than just four guys now. Now it's expanded. Got all those January 6 people now rotting in jail. You know, oh, but we're getting. I saw a deal here a while back. It said that they had the prosecutors had a 100% success rate in convicting people from January 6. Now, if you had an actual functioning legal justice system, that's impossible. You're not going to get 100% conviction rate. So that tells you right there that the whole thing is broken. It's just a kangaroo court. They're just rubber stamp. You know, you go to the right jury, they hand select these juries, they do them in the correct districts where people just aren't going to like them for who they are. The same thing is happening now. And once again, the media, they're continuing to enable it. All you know, the whole legal system, all the judges, all the prosecutors, everybody is a part of this. The thing you need to do, look, you understand this is the way the FBI operates. They send these people in and they just got to find an idiot that they can go ahead and frame up to go along with these plots and schemes. Like I said, I suspect the whole January 6 pipe bomb at these party headquarters or whatever, I think that story went away because I think the idiots backed out at the last minute, which is good. You know, this is the way they operate. You know, they go in, they send people in to try to find an idiot to go along with their plots and schemes. Your goal, as always, don't be the idiot. We're gonna go ahead and wrap up. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope, as always, you'll be able to check out all of our great content Monday through Friday here at Radio Albion. And we appreciate all of the listeners sticking with us. And hopefully you continue to get something out of each and every show. So as always, keep the faith and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.